Words appear, a Disney Channel original movie. A title appears in green lettering, The Luck of the Irish. A person's eyelashes reflect in the gray iris of their left eye. They blink. The faces of various children and men flash as they sit among a crowd.
Everyone in the world is different from everyone else. That's easy to see. Just look.
Variously aged women in unique outfits, some including headgear, sit among the crowd.
But everyone is lucky enough to have one thing in common. One thing that binds everyone together.
A boy in a multicolored outfit adorned with beads and feathers dances on a stage before the crowd. The boy turns on the spot, tapping his feet. He performs before a backdrop of flags from various countries.
Everyone has a heritage, a family history, traditions handed down from grandparents and great-grandparents.
Our next performer is Kyle Johnson.
The announcer, a teen in a frilly black and red dress, looks over her shoulder toward the stage entrance.
Kyle?
A youth waves to the crowd.
Hey! I'm down here!
Kyle?
The announcer looks around.
Kyle?
But what if I'm not that lucky? What if I'm the only person who doesn't have a heritage? What if I'm different?
I said I'm down here!
Can't you see me?
The minuscule Kyle stands by the announcer's foot, which she lifts and lowers toward him, elsewhere.
Kyle.
He wakes up on a couch.
It's time to get ready for the game.
A balding man approaches.
Go, Eagles!
I must have zonked out. I was having this really weird dream about this Heritage Day thingy that's going on at school.
Pre-game anxiety. Everybody gets it. I used to dream I was at the game wearing nothing but my underwear, and I was just in the band.
Kyle raises his eyebrows, then moves to a pass-through window.
You'll do fine, Kyle. You always do. Here, have some yogurt and a fruit bar. It'll help you keep your energy up.
That sounds good. I might have some of that myself.
Where's our family from, Dad?
Kyle's dad pauses as he raises a piece of food to his mouth.
We're from right here, son.
No, I mean, where did we come from? You know, what's our heritage?
We moved here from Cleveland.
We're Americans, Kyle. That's all the heritage we need.
Kyle narrows his eyes.
Hey, come on, Kyle. You're gonna be late for the game. Let's go.
Don't forget to wear your lucky coin.
Kyle picks up a gold coin hanging from a black cord. A face in profile adorns one side of the coin.
I had this really weird feeling. Like there was something they weren't telling me.
Later, Kyle and others play basketball at a school gym.
This was the first time our school had ever made it to the state basketball playoffs.
As a youth with close-cropped dark hair dribbles up the court, a bald man watches him.
Get up, Russell, find your shot.
Tonight was the quarterfinals, and we were going all the way this year, state champions.
The game clock counts down from 10. The score reads home 55, guests 56, and opposing player blocks Russell's shot. With less than 3 seconds remaining, Kyle smacks the ball as it heads out of bounds.
And I was the reason why.
The ball soars through the air and lands in the basket just as time expires. The final score reads home 57, guests 56. Cheerleaders swarm around Kyle, who wears the gold coin.
Everything was going my way.
A blonde cheerleader plants a kiss on Kyle's cheek.
I was one lucky guy.
He grins at his friends. On a new day, Kyle approaches the school with Russell. People line up to slap hands with them as they pass. An Eagle mascot fist bumps Kyle. A guy grins at the star player.
Dude, that was a lucky shot.
Hey, luck's got nothing to do with it.
A teen nearby holds a boombox. Kyle and Russell join a crowd dancing around him. Out of uniform, the blonde cheerleader smiles as she passes Kyle.
Looking good, Kyle.
Yeah, I taught him everything he knows.
Kyle and Russell head inside. The curly-haired announcer from Kyle's dream rises from a bench and follows them. As Kyle opens his locker, the girl approaches him smiling.
Hey, Kyle.
Oh, hi, Bonnie.
You know I'm in charge of the Heritage Day committee.
You're in charge of, like, every committee.
Bonnie purses her lips.
I mean, somebody's gotta do it.
I'm putting together the program, and I wanted to know what you're gonna do for Heritage Day.
I don't know. I mean, you know, this whole Heritage Day thing. It's like so public television.
It's your history.
Yeah, but I mean history. You know, it's like so 10 minutes ago. Now, sports. That's what's happening now. That's where I'm coming from.
That's right.
Well, even if you are some kind of mindless jock, you still got a heritage.
Kyle stares.
Mindless?
America is a nation of immigrants, Kyle. Everybody's ancestors came from another country.
Yeah, I'm part Cherokee.
So where's your family from? Is Johnson an English name, or did they change it from Johansson or something?
We're from Cleveland.
Ha ha, very funny. Now, come on, you know what I mean.
Look, I've got a test. Okay, see you guys later.
Kyle moves away.
Jocks.
In a classroom, a board shows arrows pointing from other continents to North America. Text beside the arrows indicates the migration of various peoples. Fiddling with the gold coin around his neck, Kyle frowns at the board, ignoring his test paper.
Time's up, people. Put your test papers on my desk. On your way out, please. Thank you.
Kyle frantically marks answers on his test as his classmates leave.
You'd be better off leaving them blank, Kyle. Remember, I subtract points for wrong answers.
Summer school.
I do it specifically to discourage what you just did, guessing at the answers. You know, in real life, you can't depend on luck to make up for not knowing.
Checking Kyle's test, the teacher furrows his brow, then shoots the teen a suspicious look.
These answers are all correct.
Kyle raises his eyebrows and cocks his head nonchalantly. With a small smile, he grabs his bag and exits the classroom, leaving the teacher staring after him. At night, Kyle and his father sit at a dinner table in their home. Kyle's mother brings over a large bowl.
Oh, this looks great.
Thanks.
She serves Kyle a heaping mound of noodles and vegetables.
So is this like Italian food or something?
It's something I saw in Eat Smart magazine.
She moves to her husband.
Why?
Oh, I just thought, you know, maybe it was like an old family recipe.
Kyle's mother loses her smile.
You're lucky your mom makes you such healthy meals, Kyle. It's probably why you're such a good athlete.
Kyle just has a natural talent for sports.
Yeah, you know, it's probably genetic. I mean, I bet if you go back far enough, we've had great athletes in our family for generations. You know, great soccer players, maybe. Or cross-country skiers. Or bullfighters.
You better eat your salad. You don't want the oil to separate.
Kyle's dad digs into his food.
Dad. Yeah. I was talking with the girl in charge of the Heritage Day Committee.
Is it Bonnie Lopez? She's always in charge of everything.
I know. Yeah. Anyways, she says that everyone's family comes from somewhere else.
Kyle's mom slurps a noodle and stares.
I mean, if you go back far enough, we couldn't have always lived in Cleveland.
Kyle's father does the same.
Unless we're Indians. But we're not Indians, are we?
I don't think so.
Kyle's dad wears a forced smile.
Okay, then what are we? You know, where do we come from?
I think your great-grandfather moved there from Buffalo.
No, Dad, I mean before that, before we came to America.
Why are you so interested in your family all of a sudden?
I don't know. I mean, you know, with Heritage Day coming up, I don't want to be the only kid who doesn't know what he is.
You're Kyle Johnson. You're a good student, a good boy, a great athlete. Just because some people are obsessed with where their ancestors came from doesn't mean you have to be too.
Mom, I'm not obsessed.
Being an individual is what America's all about, Kyle. It doesn't matter where you're from. You can be anything you want to be.
Fresh ground pepper?
Kyle watches his beaming parents with narrowed eyes.
There it was again. The feeling that they were hiding something from me. At school the next day, I tried to find out what it was.
Seated before a desktop computer in the school library, Kyle runs a web search for the name Johnson. Browsing a book at some shelves nearby, Bonnie spots him working and smiles. She puts the book away. As Kyle frowns at his screen, which displays over 4 million results, Bonnie approaches.
If you're looking for sports trivia, try gofindalife.com.
Actually, I'm looking for information on my family. You know, my heritage. Man, there's sure a lot of people named Johnson.
Yeah, 4 million pages. Maybe you should narrow that search down a little. Why don't you start with your father and trace your family back that way?
Oh, I tried that, but I couldn't find him.
Did you look in Cleveland? Here, move over. Let me try.
Look, you don't have to help me.
I'm head of the Heritage Day Committee, remember? It's my job to help the heritage impaired.
It's not important to me anyway. I mean, so what if I'm from Germany or England or whatever? It doesn't mean anything to me.
Then why were you on the computer? Okay, what about your mother's family? Where were they from?
I don't know.
Well, half of your heritage comes from her, you know.
Well, yeah, but I never really thought about my mom's family.
Well, what was your last name before she got married?
Kyle shrugs.
Don't tell me. You don't even know your mother's maiden name. How are you ever gonna get a credit card?
He shakes his head.
Look, if you really want to find out about your family heritage, you might try talking to your parents. They are your family.
Bonnie walks away. Kyle takes her vacated seat and resumes his search.
I couldn't tell Bonnie that I thought my mom and dad were hiding something from me. That day after school, it got weirder.
A boy wearing a helmet rides a cycle down a sidewalk, at the end of which sits Kyle's two-story house. Indoors, Kyle looks through items on a desk. He opens a yearbook from 1978.
The first weird thing was my dad's old high school yearbook. He wasn't in it. At least, Bob Johnson wasn't in it.
Kyle runs his finger along the rows of photos. Next, he opens a file labeled birth certificate and reads a certificate of registration which bears the surname Smith.
Robert Smith.
Kyle checks the yearbook again and finds a photo of his father as a shaggy-haired teenager. The name below reads Bob Smith.
Bob Smith.
Kyle?
Kyle's mother enters the room and sees her son seated at the desk, his legs crossed casually.
Oh, hi, Mom.
She smiles.
What are you doing?
Nothing.
He accidentally snaps a pencil.
I'm gonna go shoot some hoops.
Okay.
Okay.
Don't be late for supper. I'm making stir fry.
Kyle exits the room hurriedly. Moving to the desk, his mother spots the yearbook. The birth certificate file sticks out of a drawer. She frowns. Outside, Russell shoots a basketball. Standing below the hoop, Kyle catches the ball.
Why would he change his name from Smith to Johnson? You know, I mean, if you're gonna change your name, at least change it to something interesting.
Well, you know what? Maybe he didn't pick it. Maybe it was the FBI or something. Like they gave him a new identity.
Kyle shakes his head. Russell attempts a layup, but misses. Kyle takes the ball.
No, man. I mean, you gotta be like a hitman or something before they let you do that.
His expression turns thoughtful.
No.
Facing away from the basket, he shoots the ball over his shoulder and scores.
Man, how do you make those shots?
You know what? Maybe they were like these big radicals in the 60s, you know? And they had to go underground.
Yeah, or you know what? Maybe they're really aliens and they got stranded on Earth when their spaceship crashed.
Russell takes a shot. Kyle jumps and taps it into the basket.
You just touched the rim.
Yeah, I did.
Later, they walk down the street.
My dad measures me like every week to see if I'm getting taller. Then he measures my vertical jump. And if I can touch the rim, man, you sure are lucky.
What does luck have to do with how high you can jump?
You're the luckiest guy in school, Kyle. Everybody knows it. You know what? I think it's because of that lucky charm. Maybe it really works.
What, this? No, this is just something my mom gave me when I was a baby. Hey, check it out. Somebody lost 10 bucks.
Luck and a half, man. You're always finding money lying in the street.
Hey, or a team. All right, I'll split it with you.
Cool.
Flyers on a bench bear the name Seamus McTiernan.
Hey, man, check it out.
They show a dancing figure.
Hey, you know what? I saw that guy on TV once.
No, the thing behind him. It's the same as my coin.
A son on the flyer bears the same face as Kyle's coin.
That was like Chinese or something.
Hey, you know what? I think this guy's Irish.
Maybe my mom's Irish.
Russell shrugs, grinning. The friends head off together. At a fair, patrons enjoy various rides. Others move along walkways below, many of them dressed in green. A goateed man in a green bowler hat and an immense polka-dotted bow tie greets the patrons.
Top of the morning to you. Top of the morning to you. Top of the morning to you.
The man's forced smile fades as he looks around. Nearby, a board bears the flyer of McTiernan. Kyle and Russell move past a group of people dancing with their arms held stiffly at their sides.
Yo, the feet of the bomb, but like, what's with the arms?
It's something called step dancing.
Patrons walk by sporting green hair. Balloons bear the shamrock symbol.
Why wouldn't your mother want you to know if she was Irish?
I don't know. I just get this really weird feeling whenever I talk to her. I mean, it's like they don't want me to know anything about my heritage.
I didn't know you really cared about this heritage stuff.
Well, I don't. I mean, I didn't anyway. Now I feel like I'm missing something.
Yeah.
Happy morning to you. Oh,
they pass the goateed man who drapes a garland on a little girl. The girl runs away. Kyle spots a book titled Everything You Ever Wanted to Know About Being Irish But Were Afraid to Ask.
Maybe I should read this.
Look.
Russell finds coin necklaces on display.
They have these good luck thingies like yours.
Those are just, you know, fake. Mine's real gold.
A white-haired man approaches.
You can always tell the real thing.
Yeah, I guess so.
The older man smiles and taps Kyle's shoes with his cane.
Did you make those yourself? Or is it your ma still does it for you, and you half grown?
You mean my shoes?
They're called basketball shoes, sir.
With his eyebrows raised, the man gives a slight nod.
Yeah, you buy them at a store?
It's a store, is it? Oh.
He pokes Kyle's foot.
Ow! And what'll become of your feet when the road becomes hard and stony? Oh, look at this boy.
He shows his dress shoe.
Good Irish leather, huh? Soft as a spring shower and tough as a landlord's heart.
The sole bears a serpent's image.
Hey! You can't put your feet up there.
The man lowers his foot from a stool.
Get the boys a bag of spuds.
He tosses a bunch of coins into the air. They land in a perfect stack on the stall counter.
Hey, how'd you...
The boys and the stall owner look around.
Where'd he go?
In another part of the carnival, a crowd stands before a large stage.
Ladies and gentlemen, Seamus McTiernan, Saint of the Step.
The dark-haired speaker moves through the crowd.
If you hail from the shores of the Emerald Isle,
he taps people.
I wish you did.
They begin dancing.
If the blood in your veins is as green as a shamrock, and your heart's full of blarney, then the Saint of the Step loves you.
He nears Kyle and Russell.
If you believe in the little people, and you know that there's a pot of gold at the end of every rainbow,
he touches Kyle.
Then you belong to the Saint of the Step!
On stage, a group of women in red dresses begin to step dance. They each wear a long swatch of dark-colored fabric pinned to their left hip. Green and gold confetti rains down over the dancers as they perform in sync, their feet moving rapidly in dark clogs. Several men join them wearing loose-fitting light green shirts and black slacks. They each wear a swatch of the same fabric over one shoulder. Seamus steps up onto the stage wearing a puffy-sleeved satin shirt of emerald green over black leather pants. He step dances his way to the front of the stage. As he raises his hands and spins in place, the other dancers revolve around him. In the crowd, Russell shakes his head.
Man, is this bogus or what?
He looks around.
Kyle? Kyle?
He spots Kyle step dancing and gapes.
Kyle, what are you doing?
I don't know, I can't help it.
On stage, the dancers form lines on either side of Seamus, who dances with his hands on his hips. In the audience, Kyle dances in sync with them. Seamus spreads his arms and the other dancers form a single row behind him. Starting from one end of the row, they look to their left in rapid succession. Men move through the crowd eyeing the dancers Seamus touched. The goateed man bumps into Kyle, knocking him to the ground just as the dancers on stage finish their performance. The man and another one in a knitted cap help Kyle up.
Sorry, kid.
The goateed man puts a garland around Kyle's neck.
Top of the morning to you.
The two men move away. Kyle stares after them with narrowed eyes, then slips his lucky coin beneath his shirt. Later, a dairy truck drives through Kyle's neighborhood, passing a resident walking a dog. In his house, Kyle lies asleep with the Being Irish book on his chest. The lucky coin hangs on one of several basketball trophies by a mirror, which reflects Kyle shutting off his alarm and getting out of bed. Moving to the dresser with the trophies, Kyle grabs the coin, knocking the trophy onto his foot. Later, Kyle finds his mom cooking in the kitchen, her red hair hanging in thick curls over her shoulders.
Ah, top of the morning.
morning to you.
Did you do something to your hair, Mom?
I just thought I'd try a more natural look. Now sit yourself down and I'll put your breakfast on the table.
Kyle's dad peeks in.
Is that bacon I smell?
It is. And I have a pair of hen's eggs frying for each of you.
Bacon and eggs? Isn't that a little heavy on the cholesterol?
It's time you put some meat on your bones. Now sit down, the two of you.
Does Mom sound a...
Kyle glances at Bob.
I mean, does Mom sound a wee bit...
He sits at the pass-through window.
I just said a wee bit.
Bob pats him.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about what you said, Kyle, about your heritage. And there's something I have to tell you.
Kate, are you sure this is the right time?
I mean... It's no use trying to hide it, Bobby. It's about me family, Kyle.
Kate, why don't we just go out and
We're
talk?
Irish.
Bob's face slackens, and he lowers back into his chair.
Why didn't you guys tell me about this before now?
Oh, I wanted to protect you, Kyle. From the way it was when the Irish first came to America. From the jokes and the dirty jobs nobody else would take. And the signs in the shop windows saying, no Irish need apply. I wanted you to be 100% American.
Bob smiles at his wife and son.
Mom, that Irish immigrant stuff was like over 100 years ago. Wasn't it?
Kate nods stiffly.
I remember when I was a little boy, my mother used to make bacon and eggs every morning for breakfast. And we'd have white bread toasted with a lot of margarine on it. And then...
Kate sets heavily laden plates before Kyle and Bob.
Hen's eggs and a rasher of bacon. Potato cakes, bangers, and a black and white pudding.
Kyle shoots his dad an alarmed look.
What's black and white pudding?
Blood sausage and pork sausage.
She grabs a bucket of pig's feet.
And I've packed some crubeens and Kilcannon for your lunch.
Later, Kyle shows the bucket to Russell. They walk to school.
I mean, it's really weird. You know, at first it's like she's trying to hide where her family's from. And now she's cooking all this Irish food, and she's even talking funny.
Okay, so what about your dad changing his name?
Oh, well, it really doesn't seem like it's such a big deal now, you know? I mean, at least I know I got a heritage. You know, at least I know I'm... Hey, some green.
Every day.
Yeah.
Russell walks on while Kyle grabs a bill.
I guess it must be the luck of the Irish.
A car drives through a puddle, splashing him.
That was the beginning of the unluckiest day of my life.
The bill floats away and disappears down a storm drain. In class, Kyle searches through his backpack.
I lost my homework. It must fall on...
His backpack rips, spilling his belongings. He wears a downcast expression. In the bustling hallway, Kyle heads to a water fountain. As he bends down to drink, the spray of water wets the front of his pants. At his locker, Kyle grins at a female student.
Hey, looking good.
She looks down at his wet pants and wrinkles her brow. Kyle follows her gaze and gapes as the student smirks and heads off. Shaking his head, Kyle opens his locker. The pig's feet topple out, landing in a gloopy mess on the floor. Kyle touches the sauce covering his shirt and shakes off his hand with a frustrated expression. Later, Russell moves through the crowded cafeteria, approaching Kyle, who sits alone at a large table, drumming his fingers.
What's up, Kyle? Did you eat already?
I lost my lunch.
Yeah, and on your pants, too. That's nasty.
Well, I was gonna, you know, buy my lunch, but I lost my money.
Well, you want some chips? Dear Emma Bow.
Look, that's never happened to me, Russell. All right, I can't remember losing anything, ever, in my whole life.
Look, it is just bad luck. It happens to everyone. Hey, Kyle, you want my dessert? Chocolate makes me break out.
Yeah.
A teen hands Kyle a piece of cake.
Well, so much for bad luck.
The cake falls on Kyle's shirt, staining it with whipped cream. In the gym.
Hey, Kyle can touch the rim.
No way, man.
Yeah, way, man. I saw him do it. Come on. Hey, Kyle, show him how you can touch the rim.
Yeah, come on. Yeah. Let's see.
Come on,
come on.
Show him how you do it, Kyle.
All right.
Okay.
Do it. Kyle takes a running leap and falls.
Get a ladder, man. You can't even get the net.
All right, let's line up, guys.
Kyle gets to his feet.
Tonight is the semifinal of the state tournament. You win tonight, you make history. The first time this school has ever had a basketball team make it to the championship game.
Yeah.
All right, listen up. There's no running on game days. To make sure everybody stays sharp, I want everyone to make 10 foul shots before you go home. That's make them, not take them. Russell, start us off.
Let's go.
Kyle and the other players line up behind Russell, who bounces the ball, then spins it between his hands.
Any day now?
Russell scowls at his floppy-haired teammate, then faces the basket again and shoots. He misses.
Look, you're trying too hard, Russ. Just relax. Let it drop.
Kyle shoots, then turns away and grins. The ball bounces off the rim. The coach stares at the teen, and the floppy-haired teammate pats his shoulder.
End of the line, Kyle.
Kyle wears a stunned expression.
Let's keep it moving.
Kyle moves to the end of the line. His teammate scores. Another teammate makes a basket. The players take turns shooting. The crowd of players shrinks until only Russell and Kyle remain in the gym. Russell makes a shot.
Ha. That's 10. Give me 5 more.
Kyle slaps his hand.
So how many do you have left?
10.
You haven't made any yet? Man, I've never seen you go ice cold like this.
Yeah, that's because I've never been ice cold.
Well, do you want me to hang till you make your shots?
Nah, man, that's cool. I'll catch up with you at the game.
Russell leaves. Kyle takes a shot and misses. With a frustrated expression, he picks up another ball and hurls it at the backboard. The ball rolls across the court toward Bonnie entering the gym. She picks it up.
I think you need a little more arc in that shot.
I just lost my temper for a second.
I don't want to perpetuate a stereotype, but they say the Irish are a little hot-headed.
How did you know I was Irish?
Russell told me. So what are you going to do for Heritage Day?
I saw some Irish dancing over the weekend. Maybe I could do that.
You're going to learn a step dance between now and Heritage Day?
Didn't look that hard.
Bonnie's smile fades.
Well, everything's easy for you, isn't it?
What's wrong with you? Well, are you mad about something?
I've known you for a long time, Kyle. You're a nice guy and all that, but you'd be a better person if everything hadn't always been so easy for you.
Kyle frowns and glances away.
Look at basketball. The last game, you guys were outplayed, but you won anyways because you got lucky.
He lowers his gaze.
The state championship isn't supposed to be something you just luck into.
Look, just because you know everything does not mean you know anything about basketball.
Bonnie scowls and slips her bag off her shoulder. She takes the ball from Kyle and shoots, making a basket.
Lucky shot.
She grabs her bag.
That wasn't luck. That was practice. You know, hard work.
She leaves. Kyle stares after her.
What do you mean practice? You don't even play basketball.
It was the perfect ending for the worst day of my life. Too bad it wasn't over yet.
At the game, a player inbounds the ball to Kyle, but an opponent steals it. Eating potato chips, Russell's dad watches, scowling. An opponent blocks Kyle's shot. Kyle slips and falls, losing the ball. Another time, the ball bounces off his face as he tries to dribble. The coach rings a towel. A player dunks the ball on Kyle's head. Bob and Kate arrive in the stands. Kate wears a newsboy cap.
Come on, Kyle!
An anxious Kyle raises his hands to his head. The coach dabs his face with a towel. Kyle's floppy-haired teammate steals the ball and scores a three-point shot.
Way to go, Drake!
An opponent blocks another of Kyle's shots. Russell's father crushes his chips packet. Drake scores another basket.
I'm open.
A pass bounces off Kyle's back. Russell waits on the bench. Seated among the jeering crowd, Bonnie frowns and lowers her gaze. Now, Kyle and his parents return home in a red minivan.
It was like I never played before. It was awful. I couldn't even make a shot. And half the time, I missed the rim completely.
The teen and his parents exit the car.
Everyone has an off night, Kyle.
I never did before.
The important thing is your team won. You're going to the finals.
Yeah, thanks to Drake. He played a great game, especially after Coach took me out.
You don't need to be playing basketball. You should be hurling.
Mom, I'm not sick. I just played lousy.
Kyle moves away from his parents.
Are you sure you're feeling all right?
Kate wears a wool shawl.
I might drink a bit of a warm Bonnie Clabber before I go to bed.
She kisses her husband's cheek, then steps away. Bob shakes his head with a puzzled expression and follows. The next morning, the dairy truck drives through Kyle's neighborhood, passing the same resident walking their dog. Kyle's alarm shows the time as 7 o'clock. His gold coin hangs around his basketball trophy. The dresser mirror shows Kyle getting out of bed and walking over, now just barely taller than the top of the dresser. The teen arches an eyebrow, his eyes darting, then briefly stands on tiptoe. Kyle takes the lucky coin off the trophy, moving his foot out of the way as the trophy falls. His two long pajama pants bunch up around his ankles. Kyle pulls them up, then looks into the mirror over his dresser, his eyes slightly widened. He and his father both rush out of their rooms.
Do you smell something, Dad? Dad, it smells like something's burning.
Smoke wafts through the air as they rush downstairs. In the living room, Kate tends to a smoking fire in the fireplace.
Ah, boys, there's nothing like a peat fire to put the taste of air in your breakfast.
She works a pair of bellows. Bob smiles nervously at his son. Outside, Kyle wears a bucket hat as he walks with Russell.
My dad says if we don't win tonight, he's gonna adopt the other team. Hey, you look shorter. I think maybe I'm having the growth spurt.
No, I'm just, packing a little weight. My mom's selling this Irish kick. We had spuds again. Potatoes. Hey. Maybe that's why they blocked so many of my shots last night. I wasn't getting that vertical jump.
You were moving okay, like you always do.
So you think everybody's gonna be ticked at me because I played so lousy?
Look, they're not gonna turn on you over one game. Besides, we're still going to the finals.
Yeah. At school.
Loser.
Nice.
Way to choke, Johnson.
Hey, watch me touch the rim.
Hey, good girls.
The cheerleaders' smiles fade as they see Kyle.
Oh, look, there's Drake. Hi, Drake. Great game. Drake,
the Eagle mascot shakes his head at Kyle as he passes.
Well, he did play a great game.
Hey, Kyle. I just want
I gotta go to class.
Kyle heads off.
Sorry.
Bonnie's face falls. In a chemistry class, liquid bubbles inside a flask.
Can anyone tell me what a magnet is? Ollie.
Piece of iron that attracts another piece of iron.
Good. But a magnet doesn't just attract iron.
Man, one bad game and I feel like I'm nobody.
Kyle. Since you feel like talking, why don't you tell us what three kinds of metal are attracted by a magnet?
Iron and,
anyone? Russell.
Iron, cobalt, nickel.
Very good. Iron, cobalt, and nickel. Now, take your magnet and one of the metal objects in front of you. If that object is attracted to the magnet, then it must contain either iron, cobalt, or nickel.
The lucky coin sticks to a magnet.
I thought you said that was solid gold.
It is.
Magnets don't lie, man.
No. This is different.
Kyle eyes the coin through a magnifying glass.
This isn't my lucky coin.
His eyes widen behind the glass. Later, he and Russell descend a staircase.
Look, I've got to call my mom, all right? I bet that coin was like a family heirloom or something. That's probably why she wanted me to wear it.
No, that's probably why you had such a bad game last night.
Man, somebody must have stolen it.
A student knocks Kyle to the floor.
For the love of Mike.
He searches his fallen money.
Kyle, I need to talk to you.
Look, I'm a little busy right now.
He lost his lucky charm thingy.
What?
It's a gold coin. It's probably like 100 years old. Got it.
That's just a quarter.
Kyle uses a payphone.
Does he look shorter to you?
Nah, he just bulked up.
There's something wrong with this stupid phone.
Look, Kyle, I have to go. I'm going on a field trip with the Young Achievers, and I just wanted to say I hope nothing I said yesterday threw off your game. You know, about you being lazy.
Lazy? You never said I was lazy.
I mean all that other stuff about everything being too easy for you, about not deserving to win the state championship.
Kyle takes off his hat, revealing orange tips.
Whoa, check out that hair. Man, my dad won't let me dye mine. He's got this thing about Dennis Rodman.
Kyle rushes into a bathroom and inspects his reddening hair in a mirror. His ears are now pointed. He stares off worriedly, then runs out of the bathroom. Later.
Tonight's the state championship, man. If you cut school without an excuse, the coach might not let you play.
An excuse? Okay, first I found out I've been robbed. Now my hair is turning red. Hey, I used to be taller than you. Oh, sans preservas. I am getting shorter.
Kyle hurries away from the school, pulling up his overlarge pants as he goes. Arriving in front of his house, he stops and scans the neighborhood before pulling off his hat and running inside.
Mom, Dad, there's something wrong with me.
Indoors, he stops and stares. Kate stands on the pass-through counter, now roughly a foot tall.
There's something your mother and I need to tell you, son.
Kate steps around a boot on the counter.
I'm a leprechaun, Kyle.
Kyle moves forward gingerly and eyes his mother, his mouth hanging open.
Mom, I know it's hard to believe, Kyle. I mean, when I first met your mother,
You're not a leprechaun, too.
No, no. I'm from Cleveland.
Oh. We'd have told you sooner, Kyle, but we wanted you to grow up like a normal American boy. Oh. But then when I started to have this wee little spell...
Mom, you're a foot tall.
Oh, it could be worse, believe me.
It's probably just an allergic reaction. Boiled potatoes, something like that. Yeah. I don't think you have any reason to worry.
What?
His mom nods with a grin.
Me? You mean I'm a leprechaun too?
And what else would you be? And you with the blood of the Clan O'Reilly rushing about in your veins.
Doesn't mean you can't lead a perfectly normal life, Kyle.
Normal?
Yes, normal. Dad, look at my hair. And I'm getting shorter.
You don't look short to me.
Bob measures Kyle against a door bearing marks from various ages.
How's it look to... Maybe an inch? Or two? 2 inches? Dad, you said this was like an allergic reaction or something. How long does it take to wear off? Well, actually, it's never happened before.
Kate dances as she plays a pipe.
According to your mother, as long as the O'Reillys have their luck, every member of the clan can pass as a normal human. Ordinary size, all of that. Of course, I'm not really sure how it all works.
Well, okay. Okay, maybe that's what's wrong with Mom. You know, I mean, maybe we're just out of luck.
No, no, that can't be the problem.
Well, how do you know that?
Your lucky coin. That's the luck of the Clan O'Reilly.
Kyle eyes the fake coin around his neck. He approaches his mother dancing on the counter.
Mom. Mom, I lost my lucky coin.
What's this about losing your coin when it's hanging about your very neck?
Look, it's not mine. It's fake. Somebody must have switched it with the real one.
Kate inspects the coin, now roughly the size of her head.
Dirty thief. It's nothing but a bit of iron and gold paint on it.
Are you saying somebody stole your coin?
You know, I bet it was this really weird old guy me and Russell talked to at the Luck of the Irish. You know, that Seamus McTiernan dancing thing? Yeah, I bet he was like a pickpocket or something.
Wasn't that show at the fairgrounds? Kyle, you know you're not supposed to go there without asking us.
Look, Dad, I just wanted to learn about my heritage.
You can't blame him, Bobby, and we not telling him the truth. Now, what's this about an old man? Gray in the hair, was he?
Yeah. I mean, he started walking up to us and talking about his shoes. Said he made them himself.
Was it a snake he had on the sole of his shoe?
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
The miserable old sinner to play such a trick, and you his own grandson.
He was my grandfather?
He's your grandfather O'Reilly.
And may his name be cursed for a lawyer. Oh, I'll not let him get away with it if I have to pry the coin out of his thieving fingers myself. And he me on da!
I knew we should have moved as soon as they built that new potato chip factory. We were bound to run into him sometime.
You mean Emerald Isles?
Sure, and it's he that owns the whole company and still can't stew oatmeal without burning it. Come along, boys.
She hauls a key ring over her shoulder.
And we'll shame him with what he's done.
She marches off. Moving to the front door, Kate jumps, trying to reach the doorknob high over her head. Giving up, she waits for Bob to open the door. She heads out.
Honey, I think maybe I should drive.
Yeah.
Elsewhere, Bob pulls the car into a parking lot before an office building. A sign in front of their parking spot reads, Emerald Isle Golden Potato Chips. In the backseat, Kyle's mother struggles to unbuckle her seatbelt, which dwarfs her body.
Kate, I think you should wait in the car. You might attract attention.
That's how it was when we first came to this country. People looking down on you because you're a bit different.
She tugs on the seatbelt.
Mom, am I going to get as small as you are?
Oh, you're only half leprechaun, Kyle. It'll be days before you're down to this size. Plenty of time for me to make you some wee little gillies for your feet.
Don't worry, Kyle. We'll get your coin back.
Father and son get out of the car and rush toward the building's entrance, passing an employee on her way out. Inside, a security guard uses a phone.
He says he's married to Mr. O'Reilly's daughter. Right.
A blonde woman steps up beside the guard's chair.
The cheer group is here.
Kyle paces.
Son, relax, just listen. Everything's been fine. If my granddad lives right in, I mean, granddad, why don't I ever get to see him? Because I'm not a leprechaun. And they don't believe in mixed marriages. That's why we had to leave Cleveland. We even changed our name so Kate's family couldn't find us.
Well, if you and Mom, you know, like, love each other, why should it matter?
Well, sometimes leprechauns can be small-minded. Come on.
They move to the guard.
Right, sir. I'll handle it.
The guard leans toward the visitors.
Mr. O'Reilly says he doesn't have a daughter, and for you to go away and not to be bothering him again.
I'm not leaving here until I see Mr. O'Reilly.
Kyle claps Bob on the back. Now a guard throws them out of the building.
Are you okay, Dad?
Oh, don't worry, Kyle. We're not giving up. Just gonna talk a little strategy with your mother, that's all. Yeah.
Bob rises and moves away. Kyle spots a tour group descending from a bus and shaking hands with the blonde woman. Noticing Bonnie among the group, he scrambles to his feet and hurries toward them. More students exit the bus.
Oh, look at them. Looks so nice. On behalf of our president and founder, Mr. Riley O'Reilly, I'd like to say welcome to Emerald Isle. If you follow me, we'll begin the tour.
As the blonde tour guide leads the group toward the building, Kyle creeps out from behind the bus, glancing around furtively as he slips into the group. He stuffs his hands in his pockets as he walks. The group heads indoors.
Please stay with the group at all times. Some of the machinery can be dangerous.
The security guard sits facing away from the entrance, snacking. He looks up and furrows his brow, turning his head slightly to one side. He shifts his shoulders uneasily. On the factory floor, a worker pushes a container of potatoes past the group.
Now, the potato chip was invented in the late 1800s when a cook accidentally sliced some potatoes too thin and discovered they turned crisp when he fried them. As you can see, we've come a long way since then. Are there any questions so far? Yes.
Will we get to meet Mr. O'Reilly?
Oh, no, Mr. O'Reilly is far too busy to be seeing us today.
Where's his office?
It's in another part of the building. Now, if you follow me, we'll first see how the potatoes are washed.
Bonnie joins Kyle.
What are you doing here?
He leads her aside.
You're not a young achiever.
I have to talk to Mr. O'Reilly.
Why?
Remember how I told you my coin was stolen? Well, I think he's the one that took it.
He's like a millionaire. Why would he steal your coin?
Because he's my grandfather.
Why would your grandfather steal your coin?
Do you have to know everything? He and my mom don't really get along, and I guess he did it to get back at her.
At the security desk, the guard spots the pair talking on a camera feed. He smirks and reaches for his radio.
I think we have intruders.
He hits a red button. Guards rush toward Kyle and Bonnie.
Come on!
The teens flee down a staircase. Kyle leaps effortlessly over the rail. Four guards follow, chasing the teens down a service corridor. More guards close in from the other side. Taking Bonnie's hand, Kyle leads her down a narrow side passage. The guards merge into one group and follow. Kyle glances back repeatedly as he runs. An elderly, balding guard leads the group chasing the teens. Reaching a worker repairing a ceiling light, Kyle pushes him and hops into the driver's seat of his car. Bonnie gets in beside him. As Kyle drives, the balding guard climbs onto the back of the cart and grabs him. Bonnie tries to pry him off. The cart speeds out the other end of the passage and crashes into a stack of boxes, propelling the guard forward. Kyle flees the cart, and the balding guard chases him. Bonnie follows as Kyle climbs a ladder. The guard grabs his ankle. Kyle swings around the ladder and falls into a chute, sliding headfirst down the narrow shaft. Kyle exits the chute on the other end and lands in a large container before his grandfather and a pair of guards. Riley steps forward and looks into the container.
Better not bake this one, boys. I think it's my grandson.
Kyle rises from the container, scattering uncooked potato chips. The guards grab him.
I thought it was baked.
A good bite like yours got nothing to fear from the oven.
Bonnie emerges from the chute.
At least I found my granddad.
He takes off his hat.
Oh, Kyle.
What?
Bonnie gestures to his ears. Kyle touches them.
Oh, no. I'm turning into a Vulcan.
Oh. Later.
Sydney? You'll feel better after having a lie down in my office. Or better yet, make yourself a pair of shoes. It's good for the soul. When you make your own shoes, you're the master of your feet.
Look, I don't want to make a pair of shoes, and I don't want to be a leprechaun.
Oh, well, there's no use railing against what you are, Boyle. If green's just not your color, then why don't you put your coin back on? Or has your ma not told you it's the coin that gets you passed for human?
Look, I don't have my coin, all right? You do. You took my real coin and switched it with this fake one so I would know about it.
I did no such thing, Boyle. And I'll not have you blacken my name by saying I did. Huh. But wait, it's your ma who took it to turn you against me. Oh, it's a traitor she is, and to her own people.
My mom doesn't have the coin. She's changing faster than I am. She's this tall.
Really?
Leading Kyle and Bonnie through the factory, Riley turns and frowns at Kyle.
Is it truly stolen? Fine, none of your ma's tricks. Oh, no, 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 it can't be. Why, without our luck, the O'Reilly clan would start to... Am I looking a bit green?
Bonnie and Kyle stare at him.
And my trousers could use a roll.
Now, why aren't you getting short as fast as my mom did?
It's not easy for an old man to change.
But what does Kyle's lucky coin have to do with everybody turning into a leprechaun?
It's not Kyle's luck. It's the luck of the Clan O'Reilly. It's all that's held us together for 1,000 years and more. 1,000 years of invasion and oppression and being forced from the land. 1,000 years of stony fields and famine, saying goodbye forever as you get on a boat for a distant shore. And now when we finally made it here in America and are just about to have all our luck, you've lost it!
Well, why did I have to wear it, huh? Why not you or Mom?
You're the youngest member of the Clan O'Reilly, and it's always the young that have all the luck.
Riley storms off. The teens follow him.
Oh, I might as well go lay down in the gutter. It's nothing but bankruptcy and ruin for the O'Reillys now that our clan is out of luck.
Hey, luck isn't everything. I mean, it wasn't luck that built this factory.
Oh, well, not you, no. And I might still be a short order chef if it had not been for a bit of luck one day when I sliced the spuds too thin.
Are you saying you invented the potato chip? That was over 100 years ago.
Riley grins and nods.
This is all my fault. I mean, everything was going great until I started trying to find out what I was. Now I got red hair and pointy ears. I wish I never would have found out anything. I wish I didn't have a heritage.
There must be something you could do.
Riley plays a pipe.
If your coin was stolen, you could go to the police.
Oh, yeah, and tell them I'm a leprechaun and I've lost my luck? Yeah, right.
Do you have to do that?
Of course I do. I'm Irish. That's how I manifest despair.
Kyle step dances, grinning.
No, no, no. I'm not Irish. I'm an American. Look, maybe I wasn't the only person who got robbed at that Luck of the Irish thing. You know, maybe they already caught the guy who did it. You know, I'm sure we could talk to Seamus McTiernan.
What? This pennywhacker? That stage Irishman with his neon shamrocks and his heart full of blarney rubbish? Why didn't you tell me it was at his show you lost your coin? I would have known it was him that stole our luck.
I didn't say it was him.
And who else would it be? And him a fur, Derek, as plain as I'm standing here.
A what?
Outside, Bob rushes Kate. To the car.
Kate! I can't find him anywhere. I don't know where he is.
Duh!
Kyle! I know who took my coin. It was Seamus McTiernan. Granddad says he's like a fur Derek leprechaun. He says they're all thieves and liars.
Oh, really? No. O'Reilly. Riley O'Reilly. And you must be Bubby.
Yeah.
Don't believe a word he says, Kyle. It's he that took it to spite me.
Oh. And he did only be giving you what you deserve, Kathleen O'Reilly, for daring to marry outside the little people. But I swear on me mother's grave, it wasn't me that...
Riley falls. Ah! Kate hauls herself up to the window.
Don't be wasting your sympathy on him, Kyle. Swearing on his ma's grave, and she's still living in Sligo and healthy as a horse.
You're a fine one to be calling me a liar. And did you not tell me when you first met Bobby that he hailed from the shores of Erie? And you know my ears aren't what they used to be. And I'd never guess you met some lake in Ohio.
You guys, that stuff's all in the past. Can't you just forget about it?
Forget the past?
Yes. The important thing is what's happening now, today. All right, we've got to get our luck back before it's too late.
Kate and her father trade a sullen look.
Well, maybe it is too late to be objecting to a marriage, and your boy all grown up now like a man.
Well, I'll not be apologizing for marrying Bob, but I am sorry for the trouble it caused you.
Riley allows a smile. Bob steps toward him with a grin and extends his hand.
Let bygones be bygones?
There's no time for formalities, Bio. Seamus McTiernan is making off with our luck. Come on, let's after the thief.
All right.
The men get into the car.
Bonnie, look, I gotta go.
I'm going with you.
Well, what about the young achievers?
They're supposed to be about seizing opportunities. How often do you get an opportunity where you get to help a clan of leprechauns get their luck back? Besides, I only joined the young achievers because my parents made me. I really wanted to play basketball. But they said the achievers would look better on a college application.
Bob slams the steering wheel. Riley gets out of the back of the car and walks past the teens.
I guess it's my car we'll be taking. Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy ride.
Now Riley sports a long beard as he drives a light green convertible.
So, Granda, am I going to grow a beard like that?
Oh, not for a good many years, I'm glad to say.
Kyle? Hey, Kyle! I wasn't sure if it...
Russell stares.
Whoa. Check out those ears. Hey, are those real?
Are they getting worse?
Bob shakes his head and averts his gaze. Oh. Russell climbs into the car between Kyle and Bonnie. Flashing her a grin, he turns to his friend.
You okay? What's going on?
I think we've got enough people at the car already.
Hey, it's that guy, but with the beard.
That's my granda. Kyle. It's not our way to be telling the whole world all about us.
Would you stop your jabbering and drive the car? Can you not see that the road is clear?
Miss Johnson?
Hello, Russell.
Kate staggers as the car speeds forward and makes a right turn. Later, as the sun sinks toward the horizon, they arrive at the fairgrounds. Riley parks the car.
You wait here. I'm gonna check this out.
Careful, Doc.
Bobby!
Bob eyes his father-in-law.
If you get into any trouble with Seamus, try making a bet with him. Oh, the fair Derek will go wild for gambling.
Thanks.
Bob hurries toward an RV bearing the words Saint of the Step on the side. He shields his face from workers. Carrying a board between them, the workers move away. Bob climbs up onto the bumper of the RV and peers through the windshield. Inside, a safe stands open, revealing a chest full of gold coins. Seamus steps into Bob's eyeline, glaring. Bob falls off the RV, which Seamus drives toward the parked convertible. The RV swerves. Bob trips. He stumbles back to the car.
I saw it. There's a whole bunch of gold coins in there. Come on!
Riley speeds after the RV. The bigger vehicle swerves around a corner. the convertible fishtails as it follows. Two goons emerge from the back of the RV, stumbling as it speeds through a puddle. In hot pursuit, the car splashes through the water. Kate pokes her head out of a pocket with a pen tucked into it. Up ahead, the RV changes lanes. Speeding through an alley, it mows down trash cans and cardboard boxes. The trash spills across the convertible's windshield. Kate lowers back into the pocket. Both vehicles swerve around a corner onto another street.
Corned beef and cabbage there, Patrick. I'm always happy to share a meal with a fellow leprechaun.
A goon grabs a pot.
Road rise up to meet you, and may it be a slippery one.
The other goon, who sports floppy blonde hair, tosses the pot out of the door. The food sprays across the hood and windshield of Riley's car. Seamus laughs. In an alley, Riley swerves around an oncoming vehicle. One of his tires pops, and the car crashes through a pile of trash and comes to a stop. The RV pauses some distance away.
Quick, get a spare! They're getting away!
I don't have a spare, Kyle!
What?
Well, with all the good luck I've always had, I never thought I'd be needing one.
The RV drives away. Seamus smirks.
Well, I've worked up quite an appetite.
That was the last of the corned beef, sir.
Seamus glares. Now Riley sits on the lid of the car's trunk, playing a bagpipe. Bob presses a hand over his eyes. Seated cross-legged beside Riley, Kate hangs her head, the matchbook beside her appearing like a giant folder. Russell and Bonnie join Kyle at the front of the car.
You better get home. You gotta be game tonight.
But what about you? You're the reason that we made it to the state finals.
I can't play looking like this. I never could play anyway. Not really.
Bonnie lowers her eyes.
I was only good because I was lucky.
Basketball isn't everything, Kyle. I should know.
Well, I can't play baseball or football either.
I meant sports isn't everything.
Look, I liked who I was, all right? And that's what I want to be.
Bob comes over.
We should have told you a long time ago. I'm sorry, Kyle. That was our mistake.
It's okay, Dad. Dad.
Things could be worse, Kyle.
Yeah? How?
Rain pours over them. Riley tries to start the car.
Hey, give me a hand with this, Bobby! I think it's stuck!
Bob and the teens try to lift the convertible top.
It's no use, Grandad. It's just our luck.
It's almost enough to make you homesick for Ireland.
Kyle slams his hand on the car. Kate uses the matchbook for cover. Later, Riley and the kids sit huddled under an umbrella while Bob shields his head with his hand.
If you had sense enough not to drive without a spare tire...
Or if you had married my daughter, none of this would have happened.
That has nothing...
It doesn't do any good trying to blame each other. I mean, I know this is miserable,
Please don't say it could get worse. It might.
I was just gonna say that everybody has bad luck, but you can make it better if you just keep trying. I mean, when the Irish came to America, things were tough. And they had to work at jobs other people wouldn't take. And they didn't get paid what they deserved.
Well, at least they got paid.
The important thing is they didn't give up. They kept trying till things got better, and that's what makes them special. Not where they are now, but the spirit that kept them going on the way there.
She's a young achiever.
I'm an American. That's what we all are. And Americans don't give up.
The rain stops suddenly. Riley lowers the umbrella.
Maybe I can walk down to the gas station and I'll get a patch to fix that tire.
I'm going to get the top up on if it kills me.
Right. Hey, we can get the tire off.
I'll check the trunk for tools.
Okay.
I'll be going with you, Bobby, and not left waiting in the car.
Bob and Riley get out.
I better go, too. I have to go call the Young Achievers. If I get in trouble for leaving the field trip, my dad will give me his.
You're not going to get it to med school speech.
Well, thanks for helping out, Bonnie. I mean, you know, you being here. Kind of makes me think maybe I haven't lost all my luck.
Do you really mean that? Or is it just Blarney?
The teens share a smile. Riley opens the trunk, revealing a large collection of elegant shoes. Russell wrinkles his brow, and the older man shrugs. Bonnie runs after Kyle's dad.
Hey, wait up, Mr. Johnson.
Kyle watches Bonnie go with a grin. Riley steps up beside him and eyes him intently. Kyle turns to him.
What?
Riley waves a hand and steps away. Kyle follows.
Do you think we can still get our luck back, Granda?
I don't want to be lying to you, Bayou, but it'd take a miracle to catch Seamus now.
Well, at least it stopped raining.
Hey, look, there's a rainbow.
Hey, maybe there's a pot of gold at the end of it.
Riley steps toward it.
Come on, boys!
He takes off running. Kyle follows, pulling up his pants as he runs. Russell brings up the rear. He catches up with his friend.
Where are we going?
I don't know!
Russell pulls ahead.
Where are we going?
To the end of the rainbow!
Russell stops.
What?
Kyle passes him and he resumes running. The rainbow shines in the sky as Riley and the two teens sprint down a side street between buildings. Now Riley stops beside a chain-link fence and clutches his chest.
Hey, are you okay, Granda?
You can get to the end of a rainbow.
Well, I could if I was only 200 years younger.
No, the rainbow is just the sunlight refracted in the clouds. There's no end.
You're some kind of scientist.
I'd like to be one someday.
Yes, well, I'm a leprechaun, so don't be telling me about rainbows.
Hey, look over there!
Come on!
Seamus's RV sits parked nearby. Riley follows Kyle toward it. Russell looks up at the sky, his mouth hanging open, then follows the other two. Moving through the outdoor seating area of a restaurant near the parked RV, the trio sneaks up to a window and peers in to find Seamus seated with a large group of goons.
To celebrate or something.
I'll give him something to celebrate. You boys wait here. I'll slip in and get our luck back.
I'll get it.
Your ma would never forgive me if I was to allow you to go to a place like that.
Look, it's my responsibility.
Riley looks toward Russell.
Keep your eyes peeled.
He heads toward the RV with Kyle close behind. Russell sneaks a glance through the window, then ducks out of sight. Meanwhile, Riley and Kyle creep inside the RV and look around. Kyle points to the safe.
Hey, there it is.
Text on the safe reads, Pot of Gold.
It's locked.
Riley thrusts a hand toward the safe, his palm facing downward. The dial spins rapidly and smokes. The handle turns.
How'd you do that?
It's a leprechaun thing.
Kyle pulls a wooden box out of the safe. It bears an image of a tree with a Celtic knot motif. The box bears a huge collection of gold coins.
Ah, it's our luck.
That it is, Kyle, by our lucky day.
This is my coin. I can tell it's like this weird feeling.
He puts it on his cord.
You can never tell about feelings, you know. So why don't we just take the whole lot of it to be certain? Huh? Come on, give me a hand with the pot, boy.
Whoa, Granda, you can't take it all. It's not ours.
What? You think that dirty thief deserves it? And he surely stole it from poor leprechauns like ourselves.
Well, we don't know that for sure. And if he did steal it, we should tell the police.
Are you daft, boy? Calling in the peelers? But all that gold is just lying there for the taking.
You mean stealing?
I mean seizing the opportunity.
Kyle closes the box.
In Dublin's fair city, where girls are so pretty, I first set my eyes on sweet Molly Malone. As you wheel the wheelbarrow,
in the restaurant, Seamus stops singing, his face growing slack. He turns toward the window with a frown. In the RV, Riley grabs handfuls of gold coins from the box.
The streets aren't paved with gold, Kyle. You have to take it where you can find it. If you'll struggle as I did when I first came to this country.
We didn't come to America to steal. We came here to work hard, get ahead, and make something of ourselves.
We know, is it?
Riley smiles and drops the coins back into the box.
Sure, and it's worth a pot of gold to hear you count yourself among the little people. Even such a big, lovely pot as this.
Kyle grins. He and Riley get back on their feet. As Kyle slips his lucky coin back around his neck, his brow furrows. Riley eyes him questioningly. The teen tilts his head from side to side as his ears return to their normal rounded appearance. His red hair darkens to its usual brown, and he grows to his original height. Riley's long beard retracts. The coins in the box suddenly form a vortex. A phantom Seamus appears and grabs Riley's beard. He pulls him into the vortex, leaving Kyle standing alone in the RV. The coins drop to the floor. Kyle looks around, his mouth hanging.
Grandpa?
He hurries to the RV door, but Seamus comes in.
Ha! I've got him by the beard, boyo. And no leprechaun can get away from that.
Kyle! Three goons haul Russell.
And you'll not be getting away either. No. Give me that lucky coin. And maybe I'll let the old man go.
Oh, don't trust him, Kyle. He's a fair daring.
Quiet!
Fair daring. I'll make a bet with you.
A wager, is it? What exactly did you have in mind?
I bet that I can beat you.
Beat me what? Video games, is it? TV trivia?
Sports. If I beat you at sports, you let my granddad go and I get to keep my lucky coin.
But if you don't beat me, then the coin is mine. And no more of this chasing after me.
Okay.
Well, you've got yourself a wager.
On a grassy field at night, Kyle and Russell wear feathered caps and kilts.
Hey, what's going on, Kyle?
They both hold wooden sticks.
Where are we? And what are we wearing?
It's hurling, Kyle!
Granda?
Riley's chained to a rock.
Watch out for the slizer!
The what?
The slizer!
A ball flies toward Kyle, who instinctively bats it with his stick. Rushing over with his goons, Seamus bounces the ball.
Man, what are we doing here?
Sports.
Seamus strikes the ball at Kyle, who sends it sailing through wooden goalposts. One of four blue and white flags unfurls. Now Seamus lifts a boulder and hurls it forward. Kyle struggles to lift a similar boulder.
Look, I bet Seamus I could beat him at sports.
Man, sports are more like football, baseball, basketball.
One of four green and red flags unfurls. Seamus throws a wooden wheel like a discus.
You may have gotten lucky at hurling, but you'll not be beating me at the throwing of the chariot wheel.
What kind of sports are these anyway?
Do you know nothing at all your heritage? It's the Tailteann Games that were played in Ireland for 3,000 years.
Oh, those games.
Struggling to lift his chariot wheel, Kyle falls. The wheel rolls away past Seamus and Russell. A second green and red flag unfurls. Riley shakes his head. Now Kyle catches a ball.
What do I do now?
Seamus and his goons charge.
Hunt!
Kyle kicks the ball over their heads. It bounces through the goalposts. A second blue and white flag unfurls. Russell pumps his fist.
Yes!
Do you know why I want that coin?
Does it have anything to do with greed?
It's power. Power, boy, when I'm after taking the luck from every leprechaun in America. It's idle to have power over the lot of you.
Seamus and Kyle wrestle.
Kyle's on the wrestling team at school.
As Russell and Riley look on, Seamus flips Kyle onto his back.
Well, it's just junior high.
A third green and red flag unfurls. Seamus hurls a spear at a target, narrowly missing the center. He turns to Kyle.
It's a king we had in Ireland, and it's a king I'll be. King of the leprechauns.
Yeah, well, in America, we don't believe in kings. We believe in baseball.
Seamus steps aside, and Kyle pitches his spear, hitting the target dead center. A third blue and white flag unfurls. Now Seamus and Kyle race across the field.
Without your luck, there'll be no more denying what you are. You'll see how welcome you are in America when you're the little people again and differ from everyone else. And then it's back to the land of Era, back to the old country and the old ways.
Kyle slows to a stop and collapses. The fourth green and red flag unfurls. Riley frowns and eyes the three blue and white flags swaying in the wind. Seamus step dances on a small wooden platform.
last of the sports. If Kyle doesn't win this one, it's all over.
But dancing's not a sport.
It is in Ireland.
Seamus's feet move nimbly on the platform. He spreads his arms as he finishes his performance.
I am the sage of the step!
Kyle steps onto the platform. He swings his arms and spins on the spot.
What sort of step is that?
It's my step.
Kyle drops to the platform and breakdances, whirling his feet in the air. The fourth blue and white flag unfurls. Seamus arches an eyebrow. Russell grins beside Riley. Now Seamus considers the four unfurled flags on each side. He steps up to Kyle.
I'll have that coin now, boyo.
What are you talking about? We tied.
We said, if you didn't beat me at sports, the coin was mine. Well, a tie's not beating me, so hand it over.
Man, what a cheat!
Oh, he's a divil for twisting words about. He'd make a lawyer tell the truth. The coin, boyo. But we'll have to be getting rough with you.
The goons move closer. Kyle removes the necklace with the coin and holds it out. Seamus hovers his palm over it, and the necklace floats up into his hand.
What about my granddad? You said you'd let him go.
I said I might let him go. Or I might just make him my slave forever.
I bet I can beat you without my luck.
What?
I bet I can beat you at basketball, even without my lucky coin.
You've got nothing left to bet, boyo.
If I lose, I'll be your slave.
Oh, no, don't do it, Kyle, bye.
And if you win, you get your luck back. Is that it?
Yeah.
You're not gonna trust this guy again, are you, Kyle?
Now, none of that. We're all good Irishmen here.
Irishmen. Yeah. Okay, so if I win, I get my coin back, and you'll live forever in the land of my fathers, and never leave the shores of Erie again.
Riley casts a sidelong glance at Seamus while Russell glowers. Seamus smirks.
Done.
Seamus claps Kyle's hand, and the teen finds himself in the school gym with Russell, both wearing their basketball jerseys. The scoreboard shows a tie game with 3 minutes to go. The boys rush across the court to the huddle. The team notices the newcomers.
Where were you guys?
In Ireland.
Kyle nudges Russell.
Look, we're here now, all right?
Yeah, okay. You get out there and take the tip off, Kyle. Let's get the lead and keep it. Going into double overtime.
Seamus and his goons take the place of the opposing team.
Hey, this is kind of weird. How did we end up here?
Maybe you should ask him.
Seamus holds up the lucky coin.
Do you recognize this, boyo? It's your luck I'm wearing.
Isn't he a little old for junior high?
To the referee, Seamus appears as a blonde teen who shrugs.
Let's just play ball, boys.
Look, there's your granddad.
Riley sits atop the backboard in chains. Seamus wins the jump ball. The two teams race down the court. Dribbling the ball, a goon passes it to Seamus, who leaps up in slow motion and dunks the ball. Swinging from the basket, he eyes Riley perched above.
Yeah, hello, old man!
Riley shakes his fist. Seamus's team leads 64-62. Russell's dad grimaces.
Make a run for it, Kyle, before it's too late!
Put it in, Kyle, let's go!
I'm not gonna give up now. Look, I can beat Seamus if I try hard enough.
Kyle, throw it in!
Kyle inbounds the ball to Drake.
Can't go without your luck! You'll lose, Kyle! You'll be a slave forever!
Let's go!
Kyle dribbles. Yeah. Seamus intercepts a pass.
Somebody get with those guys! Transition quickly!
Seamus makes another basket. Outside, Riley's green convertible pulls up in front of the school with Bob at the wheel. Kate and Bonnie ride with him. Kate now back to her original size. All three hop out of the car and rush inside.
Come on!
Seamus's team now leads by 6.
Come on, we're gonna get this back now. Work the post. Keep the post working. Drive through the paint.
I'm open!
Seamus steals another pass and dribbles down the court. As Kyle chases him, the blonde goon knocks him to the floor. Seamus elbows Russell and makes another shot. his team now leads 70-62. Russell grimaces in pain.
Russell!
Mr. O'Reilly?
Take this lucky coin. And don't ask where it come from.
Oh, great. I'll give it to Kyle.
Oh, no. It won't work for Kyle. It's a special coin just for you.
Well, hey, thanks.
Who believes in leprechauns will believe anything.
Bring it in, Russell. Bring it in.
Russell inbounds the ball, then receives it back.
Let's get it back.
He dribbles down the court.
Move it.
Seamus blocks a pass to Kyle. Russell recovers the ball and scores.
Yeah, Russ.
Where'd he go, man?
Hey, look, it's not just me. Your grandfather gave me this lucky coin.
Kyle eyes Riley, who wears a sheepish look. With less than 2 minutes left, Seamus' team leads 70-64. Kyle's parents arrive with Bonnie.
There's Kyle!
Seamus dribbles. Russell tries to steal the ball from behind.
That's okay, son. Good foul. We can't believe that. We're gonna bring it back to you, buddy. Let's go!
Look, there's Doc!
Seamus moves to the free throw line. He takes a hop step, his arms spread wide. Kyle eyes Riley.
Why did you give Russell that coin?
I thought you could use a little help.
The way you've been playing.
But it's fake, isn't it?
Seamus makes a free throw with his eyes closed, earning another point for his team.
Sure, it is fake. But I wouldn't be telling him that if I were you. It's confidence the boy be wanting, not some lucky coin. Oh, he's got all the luck he needs right in here.
Riley grabs his chest.
Yeah. The luck's inside him.
Seamus makes the second free throw and spreads his arms with a smug look.
Mine's inside me. The luck of the Irish.
Seamus' team now leads 72-64.
Come on, Kyle, come on! Get in the game!
Come on!
Make a statement!
Kyle dribbles.
Oh, give it up, Boyle! You're a leprechaun, and a leprechaun's nothing without his luck!
Nobody's nothing!
Kyle slips past Seamus. In slow motion, he makes a layup.
Yeah! Yeah! That wasn't luck.
Yeah.
A teammate steals the ball from a goon and passes to Kyle, who makes another basket. With under a minute to go, Seamus' team leads 72-68.
Yes!
The Eagle mascot slides across the floor on his stomach. The coach directs his team from the sidelines while a cheerleader does a kick. Kyle rebounds a missed shot and shoots. Russell leaps high into the air and tips it in, touching the rim.
Yeah!
Seamus' team now leads by only 2 points. The coach pumps his fist and Riley waves his hand in the air. Russell runs to Seamus.
I touched the rim! Hey!
Seamus makes a basket.
Ooh!
With less than 30 seconds on the clock, Russell steals the ball. He passes to Kyle, who takes a long-distance shot. The ball goes in. Seamus' team leads by 2. Seamus grits his teeth and presses his hands to his head. He dives for a loose ball and misses. A goon passes the ball, but Kyle steals it. With just over 10 seconds remaining, he weaves through opposing players and makes a shot from close range.
One more, and you've got it!
Ooh. Riley almost falls off. Seamus' hair turns red. He sprouts a reddish beard, and his eyes flash green.
Give me the ball!
A goon inbounds. Flying through the air, Kyle deflects the ball to Drake.
Ball!
Drake passes it back. Seamus leaps over to Kyle.
I am the saint of the step, king of the leprechauns! You'll never beat me!
Kyle notices Russell slipping past an opponent. As the clock nears zero, Kyle passes the ball to his friend, who makes a layup. The clock times out, and the home team jumps ahead by 2 points to win the game.
That's my son!
Yeah!
Kyle and Russell bump chests. As they slap hands, the crowd disappears. Bob, Kate, and Bonnie look around, puzzled.
You've lost to the boy, Seamus. He beat you fair and square. Now it's time to have our luck back.
Riley shakes his chains.
Lost, is it? Lost what? This? Well, I still got a pot of gold in the bus. And 10 times that, hidden away in a cave in Connacht.
Do you remember the rest of our bet?
Oh, I remember it, Boyle. Word for word. It's home you're sending me. To live forever in Ireland. I'll be king of the leprechauns yet. And then I'll settle with you. And the Colin O'Reilly!
I said the shores of Erie.
Would you at least learn how to say it? The land to your fathers isn't Erie, Boyle. It's Era.
My father's from Cleveland.
Seamus throws up his hands. His left arm shrinks rapidly, then his right. His head follows suit, then his whole body reduces in size. Russell stares while Bonnie's mouth hangs open. Seamus's uniform deflates with the lucky coin still around it. A miniature Seamus crawls out wearing a filthy outfit. He gets to his feet and looks down at himself. Kyle glances over his shoulder, grinning. Seamus shoots up into the air. A beam of green light shoots up from the school into the dark sky. Elsewhere, it drops into a water body.
To live forever within the shores of Lake Erie. Sure hope he can swim better than he plays basketball.
As Kyle retrieves his lucky coin, the crowd reappears. Kyle looks around to find Bonnie beaming at him.
Luck's got nothing to do with it.
He grins and puts the coin back around his neck. People run onto the court, crowding him and Russell. Kyle gets lifted into the air.
I'm proud of you, son.
Russell's dad lifts him up. Riley cheers from his perch on the backboard, while the boys' teammates bounce and celebrate. Kyle and Russell grin and share a high five. A dark-haired man approaches Bonnie on the sidelines.
Bonnie! Where have you been?
Riley comes over.
Did your daughter not tell you she's been all day interviewing for our scholarship program?
Scholarship?
Oh, from Emerald Isle potato chips. Why, Bonnie's at the top of our list for a full college scholarship after she finishes high school course.
Bonnie, you should have told me.
Except there's one thing that might keep her from getting it. You see, we like our scholars to be well-rounded. Does she not play some sort of sport?
Sport? Oh, yes. She's going to play basketball next year. Is that right, Bunny?
Whatever you say, Dad.
Well, you've got one lucky girl there, Mr. Lopez. But aren't we all lucky to be living in so grand a country where anything is possible?
The men shake hands.
Yeah!
Russell and Kyle bounce on the shoulders of the cheering crowd. At the Heritage Day presentation, Kyle step dances on stage. A massive American flag hangs in front of the collage of flags from other nations, serving as the backdrop. Kyle gestures for the audience to clap. Finishing his routine, he strikes a pose with one arm outstretched and the other bent. Kyle's parents and grandfather applaud, as do Russell and his dad, as well as the Lopezes.
Well, I'm really proud of my mom's family and my Irish heritage, but Americans come from all over and not just one place, and so do I.
This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island.
Bonnie joins him.
From the redwood forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me.
In the audience, Bob stands and sings along. Kate joins in.
That ribbon of highway I saw above me.
Russell and his father stand. Bonnie's parents rise. Bob puts an arm around Riley. The rest of the crowd stands.
This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island.
The view freezes on Bonnie and Kyle beaming with their arms around each other. Fade to black. Audio description funded by Walt Disney Studios. Voice by Darren Polish. A logo, Disney Channel.